we're literally just going to answer some questions about the show that people have submitted to us, as well as I've got a couple just that people didn't ask that I think would be interesting to get.
Truth's coming out.
Hmm?
Truth's coming out.
Truth's coming out.
Uh-oh. So it's about to get real in here.
We got a couple of questions that were really similar as far as like they may have just been worded differently, but they all want to know the same thing. So sure. Our first question comes from Ratty Magic and Lens.
I'm aware of them.
I know them.
Across the pond. Across the pond.
We'll go, yeah. We'll go, I guess, just around the table, and you guys can answer this one. But it's, what are the origins for your character? Like, where did you come up with their name? Why did you choose that species and that class? And just kind of tell us what your thought process was between, like, for creating that specific character. We'll start with Ross.
All right. Well, when I usually make a character when I play tabletop games, I usually fit based on what I want to do in combat and what I want to do with the character first. And this one, I was kind of fitting a role with what the rest of the party had, so I kind of made my character last. And we just kind of needed someone to talk more for the group and to do some more skill checks, so I decided to make a noble. And choosing my race, I usually choose the race with the highest ability score boost to the ability score that I'm going to be using the most, which ended up being intelligence and like charisma. And so Sirians worked out to be the best, and I liked having a big head, and that seemed like the way to go.
What about the name?
So Willy Roe Ma basically is a shortened version of my full name. So Roe is Ross, and then the rest of my name.
For sure. I understand you don't want to say your whole name.
For sure.
I mean, because if you do that, I'm also going to need your social security, your date of birth.
Right. And, yeah.
Can I get that credit card? Yeah,
a sample of your blood, please.
Hit me up address. If you want this information
separate. DM me.
All right. Caleb?
Yeah, what up? I've already forgotten the question. Just kidding. Kale D-Bag, obviously. A lot of my friends and family who have gotten tired of saying a two-syllable name over their
it's
time.
It's fucking tough, man.
Yeah, Caleb.
Look,
oh,
you've got...
so tough, right?
Jer...
Yeah.
Jer, Ross, uh-huh. Doug, Ed.
Ed, I call him Ed.
Well, Daniel, but Dan.
I punch people when they call me Dan. There's like one person I let call me Dan.
I said Danny
Man,
in the
I
chat.
I'm going to start calling you Dan.
And I
want to start punching you, Ed.
People we just always want to make my name longer.
Yeah.
They add to my name.
Yeah, William Rome.
William Rome.
No, they add stuff to Ross, like Rossopotamus and
Rostifer.
Yeah,
Rostafarian.
Okay, yeah. So continue. Sorry. We sidetracked.
Kale is where that came from. I thought, oh, that'll be a nice little shortened name. Kale. And then D-Bag, obviously, because if anybody's known me. Yeah, if anybody's known me for. 5 minutes or any length of period of time, and they've realized that is an accurate description of my persona.
That's a little excessive.
Is it? Is Kale? D-Bag not?
You're not really a D-Bag. I know. I mean,
didn't you ask us to call you Kale for a little while?
See what I do? Is
yeah,
I
he
said,
did.
Ooh.
And I went.
Yeah,
I went.
That was. Yeah.
No.
Did I ask?
Yeah.
That?
I said just call me Kale.
That was probably when Chris was asking everybody to call him Crash.
Yeah. Still do.
And
still
we, So Crash gets the nickname, but I got to fucking
his is
start a podcast.
His is
cool.
You didn't pick a shitty vegetable. Or he didn't pick a shitty vegetable.
All right, D-Bag.
Yeah, exactly. So fuck you. Fuck you, Space God.
I didn't even know Crash had a real name.
Anyway. Crash Kale D-Bag. The name describes itself. Yeah, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Also... Nowadays, I answer more to Kale than I do Caleb, and that's weird. It's weird.
Well, you've made all of your usernames Kale D-Bag.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, yeah. It's like a natural thing now, and it feels...
So when we're playing video games, like that's the username.
People
are
like,
people
hey, Kale. And I'm,
So maybe this is a way for you to get that nickname.
No, it's
after
like
all.
Yeah, he just really had to work at
it's
it.
It's like Heart of Darkness. No, I've like gone way too deep into the character.
I don't know the difference between.
I don't know what's reality.
Why'd you make a scoundrel?
Yeah,
I'm a scoundrel, baby.
Why'd you choose a Duros?
That's true.
Why
okay, second part to the question. Duros afforded me Benny's in some way. I don't remember what they are now.
Piloting?
They're expert pilots.
Yeah, yeah, they were piloting. There were piloting beneficials to being a Duros, but now I realize, who gives a fuck? I'm a pod racer, baby.
Yes, sir.
Which also
it still
helps.
Takes piloting. Uh-huh.
It still takes piloting.
Check.
And then class?
No, and then class. Scoundrel, simply because I wanted to break free from my papa's industrial servitude. So to speak.
Yeah.
I wanted to break free from the D-bag franchise, and then I'm kind of headed back there. I don't know if that's spoilers or whatever, but I'm kind of leaning towards taking over that franchise. Kind of it's like a I was thinking about it the other day and while thinking of like the Lex Luthor, Lionel Luthor battle that you see between the two boys. He hates his father, but he also kind of wants to make his father proud in some weird, sick way.
Hamlet.
Yeah, he wants to destroy his father, and in that way, he's also, like, made his father proud. Uh-oh. It's stupid, but that's the way that I'm going. Okay. Suck my dick.
that's an aggressive ending.
Suck my dick. PPS, I love you. PPS, suck my dick.
He's gesticulating fiercely.
I'm testiculating.
Testiculating?
Yeah.
What about the voice, though? That's an important part of the character.
Where did the voice come from?
Yeah.
Oh, you know. I mean, it's not hard to tell where the voice came from. I come from Texas, which is the greatest president of all time. Of all time. It's George W. Bush. And his
just dead just, silence.
Oh no! We'll insert the laughter later. Yeah, and the applause later. George W. Bush. No, his voice. It really. It's just adorable, and it's one thing that I fucking love to do. So, it is what it is.
There you go. Good, because I asked you guys to, if you could make character voices, just so.
Yeah.
We can distinguish between being in and out of character.
Is too crazy, so I wanted to like draw it back to
for sure.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
just a ridiculous character voice.
Yeah,
that
Willie
Rowe and Saba, I constantly
they're
do it.
A little too
it's,
crazy
it's
for me.
It's difficult to not do this character voice.
I wish you would stop doing your character voice now.
Yeah, you're still doing it.
Good God. Yeah.
As we speak.
It's like Robert Downey Jr. You can't turn it off.
Well, leaves the room.
The problem, though, is that there has been issues on the show, which I think have made for some really funny goofs, where you do say stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to go, hold on. Who's saying that?
Yeah.
Oh, it was Willie Rowe. Okay. Fuck, because that was a mean burn that you just said to Jer, specifically.
Should we cut it out, or should we keep it in? Yeah. Is it a part of your character?
Yeah.
I love
need to
it.
Know. Daniel.
I just assume it always is. Either way.
That's your fault.
Yeah. Well, Chub Rub is... God, I can't even say it. I love my character. I came up with the idea of just
everyone
a barbarian.
Loves your character.
Thank you. I love everyone
such
too.
A sweetheart.
Aw. I came up with the idea because, you know, in the end of Return of the Jedi, you see the Ewoks, you know, beating on the stormtrooper helmets, and you know they captured Luke and Leia. They were going to eat them. So I just love the idea of just a totally feral, wild Ewok child running around. And I'll be honest, I get a lot of inspiration watching my dogs be stupid. I've got a Shih Tzu that's just derpy and white and fluffy, and just he is Chub Rub in my mind, so I kind of take a lot of inspiration from him.
That's awesome.
And the voice, man, originally we were gonna do a Hank Hill voice, which is one of my favorite ones, you know, bah, god damn it, bah! And then, you know, modulate it. But it just didn't sound good, and I was toying with some of the other voices, and the idea of just like a little bitty Ewok with a big booming voice, it's really hard to ignore, you know? I think it's great. Or, I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I love it.
It's such an oxymoron.
Ooh. Yeah, because we talked, I mean, I know early on in the series, you were like, what if he changed his voice? And I've been kind of against it, because I think that, again, the juxtaposition between small, tiny, white, fluffy,
cute
on the outside.
To a certain extent, let's be real.
Yeah,
well, it's kind of gross, and I fucking hate it.
Well, I shower. I have my character shower a lot to maintain the cuteness.
It's like people see him, and they're like, aw, look at that little furball.
And then
he eats them. But,
but very gremlin
but
style.
Versus the deep voice that's just like, and then vulgar.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
It's so
funny.
Yeah, I love insult humor. Like, roasts are my favorite things in the world. So, like, I really try to channel that with Chub Rub. And sometimes I feel kind of bad about it, but I'm pretty sure everyone here has got pretty thick skin. So,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, like,
what do you think?
That first interaction with PNP.
I go home and I cry every night. I cry every night.
Oh, what?
He said that thick skin comment and then just, like, glanced at Jer.
Oh, no.
See? That's what I'm talking about.
Jer's left. Jer's gone to play PUBG.
Jer's taking a 10-minute timeout.
But, yeah, I love the idea of him being kind of hostile to everyone, even though he's so adorable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's fun to get to play that just dirty, scummy, horrible person. I mean, I didn't know what class to pick, so I kind of went with Scoundrel to help, you know, Ewoks get a natural bonus to hiding because they're so tiny. And yeah, live in the woods and know how to camouflage themselves and this and that. So just it just worked out.
Well, and people talk about their favorite characters all the time, and obviously yours is mentioned. And it, just having that fleshed out character, it's so well thought out.
Yeah.
It's such a thing that you would see in Star Wars Clone Wars. Honestly, it's something that you would legitimately see in a...
Probably
you
know, not I as mean, many F-bombs.
Obviously not as many F-bombs, not as many...
Well, I don't know the direction they're going. They're getting pretty dark. So, you know.
It's pretty dark.
The Han Solo movie, I'm just saying. I'm open.
I don't
Disney,
know.
You hear me?
There's something to be said about a very well thought out character. And this touches on probably a question you're going to hit later or
don't.
That was asked. Which was like,
I'm just
shut
kidding.
The fuck up. And it was which
was
like,
question? I didn't get
when
that
you're
one.
DMing, you know, good things to DM? But that's obviously the opposite side of it. Not only does it take a good DM to do this thing, but it takes a very well fleshed out character.
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you.
There you go.
Go ahead, yeah, Sawbone.
Thanks. Sawbone.
That was good.
Ed.
Yeah. So well the inspiration for Sawbone's name actually came from Spider-Man whenever they do the wrestling scene
Bonesaw
and Bonesaw is ready.
Bonesaw's
so my ready. First character in World of Warcraft when I played it was Bonesaw, an undead warrior. And so I had asked to be named Bonesaw, but Doug said no. So I couldn't be Bonesaw. So I was like, all right, Sawbone.
Yeah.
And he went, okay.
Just flip
all right,
it.
I'm all right with that. That yeah. sounds more Star Wars-y. So I got Sawbone. Inspiration for Bounty Hunter would be because I played Bounty Hunters in the Old Republic. I love Boba Fett. I have a lot of art of Boba Fett. I have a Boba Fett Mandalorian tattoo. And then
can you show the viewers?
Post a picture in our Discord later if you want.
Nah,
you
no.
tweet that.
I want you to put it up to the microphone. You idiot.
Okay.
You'll hear that? His sleeve and
look
he's,
at it.
He's
you
using
it?
It.
Oh, it's beautiful.
You okay.
Yep. You heard the tattoo.
You heard it.
Careful.
It's good. It's great.
so eloquent. It speaks
and
for itself.
For the class
or the species.
Species.
Yeah,
Chiss. So in the Old Republic, I had an Imperial agent that was a Sith, not Sith,
nope.
A Chiss. And I love that character. Easily my most favorite character out of all the characters I played in the game. Their storyline was amazing. And I really enjoy the aesthetic look of it, like the blue skin. And then when you told me that the skin color can change based on the oxygen level of the planet, that got me kind of excited that the tone of the color can change. Granted, now that I wear full armor,
yeah, no one sees it.
You won't
no,
see
no
that unless
yeah.
I'm like, oh, here, I just put my visor up and you can see my face a little.
Yeah.
But
I really appreciate that you've taken on that role, even in like our group chats and stuff, and you text us and then you put sealed with a Chiss.
Sealed with a
I want to point out that without the straight guy, you know, Willy Rowe, Ma, and Sawbone are great straight man characters for a bit humor because Kale D-Bag and Mark Novi and Trub Rub were goofballs, and if it was just that, it would be ludicrous.
It'd be
like,
goofballs is an understatement, but
yeah.
Continue.
There would be no tether to any semblance of a fictional reality, you know. So I'm really glad that you know someone's got to do it, and they do it so well.
Yeah, agreed. Jer, or Marky Mark, and his Funky Bunch.
Wait, so do you do it as? When you answer the question as Jeremy or as Marky Mark?
Jeremy.
As my persona, Jeremy.
Anthem. You mean?
My character came about really quickly. It was almost instantly. Because when I was asked to do the project, I was reluctant because I've never played D&D before, and I was like, I don't
Same.
Know, man. I was like, I don't know, Doug. He was like, no, you're gonna do it. He didn't give me an option.
It's true. He was also like, who's gonna listen to this? And I went, a lot of people.
One or two people.
That was my question, too. I was really legitimately surprised. Like, it's awesome seeing that people like us. It really makes me tingly and warm and fuzzy.
I didn't even listen to it.
Did you say you don't?
I don't even listen
I'm like a Hollywood star. Like, I can't listen to my own voice, you know? So once I'm done with a project, I just let it
just
go.
Just move on.
Just move on.
I have DVDs of it on my shelf, but that's about it.
That he watches every night.
But I think that the character came about just in a quick, like, 5 minutes. Like, totally. Like, I said to Doug, I said, hey, wouldn't it be funny if I just did Marky Mark as a Jedi? And, like, can he be... an ex, he was from Hollywood, like, you know, the equivalent of, and he's like, yeah, let me ask B.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, we're cool with it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I developed a backstory that's, I think is pretty neat, and I think will play out in future episodes, and that kind of show a different side of Mark.
So. It's going to be so sad when he dies.
Next question.
Yikes.
How'd you come up with Space Jesus?
The inspiration for Space Jesus is you know how...
you go to church every Sunday?
You go to church and you got Christ in your heart. No.
I mean your heart. The other day I was getting crucified and, you know, I thought to myself, this would be funny.
This would be funny on a galactic scale.
On a galactic scale.
I don't know if it was going to be a question later, but something Jeff started mentioning is... the amount that we each have played actual tabletop role-playing games, because it is Jared's and Caleb's first time playing.
This is like my second time.
Yeah.
It's Doug's first time DMing, which, props to that. Not a lot of people realize that. They might go into it assuming Doug's already DM'd several times.
That's kind of one of the reasons that we have the tandem DM thing, is so that Brendan can cover some of the rules base that Doug doesn't necessarily
know. When we started doing this, I was like, there's a story that I have that I want to tell, but, like, I don't know the rules for this game very well. And even if I did, there would still be stuff where I'm like, I just don't know it well enough, but thankfully B does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the rules pretty well.
So I asked him, I approached him. And
a little too well.
Because originally...
well enough. No, let's keep it where it's at.
But it's nice balance. I approached him asking if he'd co-DM with me, and for that very reason, like, I need someone there to help with creating all the bad guys and making sure that we are following the rules as best as we can. I mean, we allow for some freedom because of... the fact that this is being put out to people who may not know the rules, but then there are people who do, so we have to kind of follow it. Mm-hmm. But I also try to allow.
But also, the DM gets to cheat; it's allowed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, so it's amazing that when y'all bend the
rules.
You
gotta tell
for
a story.
Us.
So.
Exactly.
I mean, they are gods. Essentially.
And that's the essence of the game, though.
But
like,
no,
there's nothing. I'm sorry that I'm...
There's, like, back massages happening right now.
There's a lot of love happening right now. Okay. We've just created such a loving...
But
that's not where my penis kind of... is.
Just kind of go back. Overall, like, Brendan, Daniel, and I each have around the same amount of experience different amounts of years. Mm-hmm. But we have the most experience at the table. And then... Ed's played a couple times, specifically Star Wars. We've played some, like, Pathfinder and GURPS and different...
We've done
Weeby different
Shadowrun and Deathlands.
Well, before we started this.
Yeah, before we started this.
And I played, and I'm a huge fan of the technical side.
Yeah.
And Jer's played, and he's a huge fan of... Not the technical side.
Anybody knows about Dresden Files?
That huge technical side fan.
I played that game.
Okay, because I started playing with you guys a couple years ago. We were doing a multiverse storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I played as Spider-Man.
Yeah, you did.
And then B played as Thor.
Yes, I did.
Ross
I think
played
that
as
was that was
Hulk
in
and
Hulk.
Gandalf.
Was
Gandalf.
That Pathfinder?
At one point,
that was
I played as Deadpool.
Was Pathfinder.
Which
and our buddy Crash played as Batman. And then from there, we...
That was a fun game.
That was
we
a
made
great
an Avatar
game.
We built an Avatar The Last Airbender
that.
Game.
Oh, we should have
well,
been good.
Me and Ross spent like...
Oh, yeah, you guys...
A year and a half... building Avatar The Last Airbender inside of an actual game that existed. It was called Unknown Armies.
Mm-hmm.
We picked it because it just the dice system was different and it just fit. It felt like it fit better.
And it had stuff for kind of the supernatural spirit side of things that some games don't have rules for specifically. And so that was kind of built in. So that helped too, because there was stuff in Avatar, especially with the spirit world and stuff like that, that it kind of fit well.
Yeah. It was awesome. And then we like we switched out of that and went to some other stuff. But yeah, Avatar game was pretty fun.
And then I think those are the two main like D&D campaigns that I've played. Obviously, we've done other stuff.
We've done some other, Pathfinder, different one-shots. And
We have
another Star Wars game with everybody here except for Jeremy because he has to drive in. And
then I have another Star Wars game with another group of friends.
That game where y'all all play Jedis.
So what was that, Caleb?
And an Adventure Time game.
And the, me, Caleb, and Ross have and Daniel have an Adventure Time game that we're playing in Pathfinder. I
forgot about that.
It's so, so good.
Yeah.
We played a total of two times.
The nerdery is rampant.
Yeah, so we all have varying degrees of D&D experience, except for, again, Jer, this is Jer's first time, so Jer, I'll ask you, how
what do you like,
how much do you like it? Like, I mean,
I
if you weren't doing it for a show and we were just like, hey, come over and play D&D with us once a month, would you still do it?
Yes. Okay, yeah.
That makes me happy.
I like the role-playing aspect of it.
It's the only thing he enjoys is role playing.
Well, no, I like
he hates when everyone throws numbers at him and tells
how many
him
numbers
plus.
I hate the math too. I love the role playing aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean the math is fine. It's just that it gets very in depth. So if you have to be prepared for that, because if you're not, then you're going to get confused as shit. No, this is week 21. And I'm finally diving into the books.
Yeah.
He was sending us texts all week of all of the all the rules and all the notes, and I loved it. Don't get me wrong.
Like, I've been doing it wrong.
Please send me more.
Now I gotta play better.
I actually found out that I was attacking wrong, and that I was actually underpowered, and so
that will happen. That does happen.
Get ready for some sweet ass swings.
Yeah, my first game ever as a D&D game. I was playing a D&D 3.5, and I had to play a cleric, a little heel bitch. But the people that were teaching me didn't know the game very well either, and I ended up like the score that I needed to cast spells. Like I could cast one spell a day as a cleric. And I built myself like a melee tank, and I was just not doing anything effectively. And I was like, this sucks. I hate D&D. And someone's like, oh, here, read the rules, dumbass. It's there. Just
read the rules.
Read it a lot. All of the reading. Do all of the reading.
Open a book, motherfucker.
And eventually, I was like, fine. And now I'm here and a giant nerd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I grew up as kind of closed off system. You know, there wasn't the internet and all that kind of stuff.
Poor black child.
My
Jeremy is the oldest by an amount.
Yeah,
at the
table. I grew up in the hood. My mom was very much like one of those D&D is of the devil, and you're allowing the devil into the house if you play D&D.
Yes.
Sure.
And so I had no idea that it could be so much fun. So yeah, it's great.
Same background.
It reminds me. I got a text from my parents earlier this week. They're like, "Hey, you want to come over Saturday night for dinner?" And I was like, "Nah, I've got D&D." My mom goes, "What is that? Is that Dragons and Dungeons?"
Yep,
so close,
that's
mom.
It, mom. That's it.
Oh, so close.
Honestly,
so close.
That's
close.
Honestly,
look,
yeah,
I'm doing a Star Wars
sent to her for
for
even knowing.
Yeah, Dragons and Dungeons.
Yeah, I was like, Dungeons and Dragons. You're close.
My mom would be like, "Do not disturb." What is that?
Yeah. okay, let's answer some more questions.
I want to cap that last segment. Oh, bruh.
I'm kidding, go ahead.
I want to say, like, I have been playing D&D for, like, a decade now, and I have not once ever had a gaming group where people were so dedicated to their characters. It is amazing.
It's true.
Most people are like, I want to roll a dice and hit it in the face and crit it and kill it and have thick armor and be the god.
But I think having the audience and like knowing that we're putting out a product like gives us that like,
well,
that
was
like a
even,
sense
okay,
of urgency.
That was the next question.
Even before we had anybody following us, the passion that
you're
pointing at Ross and Daniel and Brendan. The people who have played it, just to see their passion, were like, oh my goodness, you want to learn this kind of thing. It's bled over into every other part of my life. Like, there are people at work that are passionate about stuff, and I'm like, explain to me everything about that thing. I don't know anything. I don't even know if I'd be into it, but I know from my experience that Ross and Brendan and Daniel and you guys in general have been passionate about Dungeons and Dragons. And in order to say, it really sucks whenever I'm recommending this thing to somebody who's so fucking close-minded. They want to hear the top 40 on the radio. They don't want to listen to our podcast. And it's like, you idiot. Like, think of, like, look at how
that's
passionate
what I tell my brother
we are
every time.
Yeah,
you
and
idiot.
That's what we tell our best friends that won't
that's
listen.
What we
you know
tell
what, you know,
Ryan.
I don't
Barrington.
Ryan.
Name drop.
Listen right now.
MK.
Listen, I don't require anybody to be into our shit, but I do require an open mind, and it's bled into almost every other part of my life now. It's like, if you're passionate about wrestling, I'm going to watch some wrestling with you.
And we
you.
Do.
Yeah, and we do. And we love it. Like, people don't realize, that someone else's passion can become your passion if you just accept what they like. What they like.
He is
Ross right now.
He is giving
I
Ross
laid,
the
I
boy
hands
like
on
air.
If you anyway, accept Jesus
if
Christ.
You accept, listen, and this is where I'm going with this.
Just
Christ
running his hands
died for y'all's
there.
Sins, you idiots.
See, did you die for their sins?
Anyway,
some a little on the inside all right, every
all
time
I'm
we play.
All I'm trying to say is people's passions. Open your GD ears up to somebody else's passion, and it might become yours, because it definitely has become mine.
Like, how many people have started playing their own D&D?
Can't hear you, because you're not talking
like
to
how many people are playing their own D&D game from Discord.
How many people are talking in their mics these days?
Yeah.
All right.
So you have a question, Doug? The next question is kind of based on what we were just talking about.
Let's answer it.
Linz asks, does knowing that you have a loyal fan base now make you enjoy playing more? If you were doing it just for fun, like knowing that you're doing it for other people's entertainment, like does that change how much you enjoy playing it?
You answer.
Me?
Yeah, we'll just go
we'll
around.
Go around.
We'll just go
okay.
Around.
I mean, of course it does. I feel like having that, knowing someone's going to listen to it, makes, of course, one to have a good product to put out.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that we're doing, make sure that it stays on point for
on
whether
brand.
It's we're trying to be funny or if we're trying to keep it more epic and intense.
You touched on exactly what I was going to talk about. It's like, it's not just that it makes me enjoy the podcast more. It changes the way that we've recorded, honestly. Because we could go here and we could talk about our roles and we could talk about, no, this is 2 and this is 15. No, it's completely revolutionized the way that I think about playing this game. Probably not for the person who's a stickler about rules, but from an entertainment standpoint, this is my outlet. You know what I mean? This is my way of getting, I'm funny. Look at me. I'm a goofball. I'm a clown man.
My whole life.
Yeah.
My whole life I've known Caleb the 14 years and 15 years.
He's just a clown man.
I'm a clown man. Look at me.
Everybody, I'm so funny. Always look at me.
Yeah. It really is a nice little outlet for me to be a goof ass. And
at least you're
but
honest.
It's so funny. And Doug doesn't think you're funny, but I think you're funny.
Well, I appreciate that. And deep down, we all know Doug thinks I'm funny.
He doesn't even
just
smile.
Like, just like whatever I
no,
say,
he doesn't
it's
smile.
Not funny.
Prove it.
It's not funny. I shouldn't laugh.
But you know
it.
What, though? The less he smiles, the more I'm going to attempt to do it. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The funnier I'm going to try and be. I love
that's
it.
So good.
Yeah, so that's where it comes from whenever Linz asked that question. It's
I would,
like, yeah, the fans drive us to change up the way the game is played, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say I don't necessarily change my play style for the fan. I was already excited to play a game with my friends. But getting to see like Doug's reaction to all the fan feedback on the release of
it's
an
fun.
Episode, like that is what gets
nuts.
Me excited.
It's rewarding.
Is to see the guy that puts in really the most work. To be the most, like, just so excited every other Friday when the episode drops and everyone talks about how great the episode is. Whenever Doug gets happy about it, it instantly makes me feel good about the product we're producing and he's creating. I mean, he's doing all. We have the easy job. We show up and place in D&D.
Yeah,
he,
yeah. Right. Keep telling Doug you love it because he loves it.
Doug has the hardest job out of any of
he
us.
He busts
easily.
Ass for every, you know, we put like 6-8 hours in a session, if that.
And then he's done for like 4 weeks.
Yeah, we got four weeks to recharge and not do anything. And meanwhile, he's busting ass putting in another 18, 20 hours a week.
Slaving it.
I've done a fair amount of work off.
Oh,
Mike.
Yeah. Also, you have all of the maths.
I'm funny every day. So,
oh God,
it's kind of a full time job for me. So I don't know why I'm not getting any credit for this.
It's not our fault you don't carry a mic.
It's true.
That's true.
You can just your phone. You could just record your goofs all day.
I do. Yeah, just live stream all your shit.
Just live.
Yeah. Snapchat.
Periscope.
Damn, I gotta get a Snapchat. Just
Periscope
to you.
That shit.
Call Periscope.
Mm-hmm.
Jared.
I think it. Sorry.
I skipped over. Yeah,
I'm sorry. It's all good. I actually have three things I wanted to say. The first one is, I've been doing, you know, creative stuff, like air quotes around creative. I've been in, you know, bands and doing video projects, and it is impossible to get people excited about shit you're making. It doesn't matter if it's good. It doesn't matter if it's their genre or what they're into. Most people just don't give a shit. Even most, you know, people close, not super close to me, but the people you know on the outside, it's hard to think about getting them involved. And we've had so much feedback about this, just knowing that people are listening to it and they're enjoying it. It's so fulfilling. Like every time I see fan art, I do a little happy dance, and I'm just so like excited. I got to show my room. It's like, hey guys, look at this! Ah, people are awesome.
I also just framed that fan art from Lens.
Yeah, Lens, yep. That's awesome. Oh, so much awesomeness.
That poster is pretty sweet.
Yeah, more fanfic. And honestly, if
not
I,
enough content to make.
I heard a question that was.
I don't know.
What would happen if you and your character and my character had a baby?
That would be
an ugly baby.
They talked about the end result. They didn't talk about the
what happened.
The baby
how
making.
How
who would birth
I
the baby?
A
bunch of wine.
I imagine
coolers.
It would require like a test tube.
I imagine a hot tub would be involved.
A jacuzzi might be involved.
I don't know if it's not a jacuzzi full of bantha butter. I don't.
Oh.
All right. So
things are slipping in and out everywhere.
I already answered.
Oh yeah, yeah. I wanted to give that quick shout out to Lens and David for the super cool, awesome fan art. I gotta say, that makes me just go.
I did like the one. Everything Lens has done has been fantastic. The one we got from David, that was really funny.
Love her style.
I just love it because it's such. It's such a throwaway joke in episode 18 that it's just so funny. That that's one of the things I've also enjoyed is like the little tiny things that people have like latched onto or have found funny that like literally we just say that don't really like maybe we'll laugh at it at the time, but like it makes it into an episode and
I'm
then someone else finds it
about
equally. Someone equally finds
so
it just
long
as funny.
Ago.
So like the fact that you told that guy like, hey, go enjoy your evening. You didn't see us. Don't masturbate so much, or whatever.
Don't jack off so much.
Maybe don't jack off so much.
It was such a throwaway line,
and like that happens.
And
to
you
me,
know,
like, the
honestly,
fan
like when
it's
I
really
made
funny.
That joke, it was kind of dead silence in the room. So I was like, "That's not that funny." But and then like thinking about it later, I was like, "I really regret that joke." But
nope.
I love
you.
Thank you
really you. Don't. Yeah. You don't realize what people find fucking funny.
Yeah.
Like, we can just deadpan and not laugh at each other, but somebody somewhere is losing.
That was one of the great things about episode 18. I remember listening to it and being like, this one's fucking funny, guys. Like, this one's full of really good goofs. And then so far this
Mark
week, I've heard numerous times from people saying that episode 18 has been their favorite because it's just been one of the funniest. Because I remember literally texting you guys going, like, I'm listening to this. You guys were on fucking point that night. That shit was fucking hilarious.
I mean, nobody's heard the Kevisode yet, so yeah. Episode 18 is...
The best episode?
The best episode.
The best episode?
Hashtag the best
bold.
Episode.
All right, Jer.
I think fan reaction, like the first two times that we recorded, I think I had a lot of fun doing it, but then the pressure, like there is pressure to deliver something that is worthy of fans.
True.
And, on the day of release, I don't really say much because I just wait to see what Kevin says in our chat.
Yes.
Because he gives us a live play-by-play.
Yeah, as he's listening, he'll like text us the jokes that we made. So it's like, I know the jokes, but it's still funny to, again, it's what I was just saying, to see what people pick up on. And so for Kev, it's so funny to see like what
Kev's
thing
the most active
made
texter.
Him
yeah.
like laugh that. The most.
So. And then seeing all the reactions. So I think like leading up a week before we start recording, I really start getting into my mindset changes a little bit and I start thinking about everything that I kind of want to bring to the table and what I think would be funny and the interactions and kind of who I think it would be funny to do stuff to and with and then
little prankster over here.
Yeah, and so I think I try not to prepare that much because I like it to be spontaneous.
Do you really ask who, or do you just assume it's always me?
I really have enjoyed our building, our relationship building.
That's good.
I think.
Hey, double
so hey. Hey, let's be real.
Was that Willie?
Hey,
or Willie was that Ross?
Let's be real. Everybody's enjoyed that shit.
Yeah, it's pretty so fun.
God, they can't get enough of it.
Better.
In the Kev episode, it makes for such good humor.
Brendan,
it's so good.
Brendan the other night compared it to Cap'n Holt and...
Andy Samberg.
Oh, for yeah. sure.
Oh, for
Nine-Nine.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very technical, very serious person.
Straight man
versus
and goofball.
Hey, I want your attention and I want your affection. Please love me.
And I think that all started. I don't know why that started,
trope.
But in the beginning, we didn't.
It's natural.
We had no interaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, I just started buying you shit.
I think it started with the heist at the casino, mm-hmm. and him going and buying you a pink blazer and some shorts.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I got to buy you something now in
really,
return.
If we're really doing a behind the scenes, I got on to Jer whenever he first started up. And Jer and I had a little tiff.
Oh,
and I said,
going
oh,
here.
Yeah,
we're
going,
we're going
here.
There.
No, it's not even a thing because guess what?
Jer
and I
there.
Are still bestest minches. And bestest minch. And,
like
I said, Jer. I said you're so good at improv. I said you got to let other people shine. You can't step on other people. And what you did in return was just bring people into it, into the joke, into the improv. Like force them into it. Like I'm dragging. Okay, well, Caleb. Now you can only say good things about this.
these people. You're
fighting. You know, and honestly though, you reacted in a way that I was worried that I was going to like hurt your feelings or something. And that wasn't what it was about. It wasn't me trying to get on to you. It was like, we've got five people here and they all want to shine. And you were, of course, one of the funniest people on radio and on podcasting.
In history ever.
In history. It's like you.
No big deal.
Casey Kasem.
Ryan Seacrest.
Let's remember 5 seconds ago when he was claiming he was the funniest.
I didn't say you were the funniest. I said you were one of the funniest.
He's ahead.
Oh, if
you.
I was saying He's if I was talking in ultimatums, yeah, sure, you're right behind me, bud. You're there. You'll get there. But yeah,
I think it's important to like. I don't think this is my first time doing all this, and I think that conversation was. I think that conversation was like, there's a lot of people interacting. Some people,
yeah.
And that was the beginning of it because some people wouldn't speak up.
Yeah,
and
we
I think
still finding each other out.
Everyone was finding their way and stuff, and so
developing their character.
Developing characters, and mm-hmm. I think it's forced people to actually be on mic more than they were and stuff. And
it absolutely did. Honestly, it kind of pushed us towards the format that we ended up in, which is. You know, most D&D players, they're all about rolling the dice and killing things and getting XP and getting loot. Dice jockeys.
Yeah,
and you know, since you two were new to this game completely, and you just jumped into your characters and it really took over, and you know, it pushed me as a character to really think about my character more, and it really drew us in. And you know, Willie Romaw's character, the straight man that he started playing early on, it was such a perfect foil for
so
Mark
good.
And Obi. And oh man, I just love how into it he was. Yeah. It was exactly what we needed. It helped. It really pushed us towards where we needed to be.
I'm just glad you took instead of getting upset at me for even mentioning something like that. You turned it into something so beautiful.
I think you got to be mature and like, you know, think it through.
I was,
all
yeah,
angles
I was
and
worried
stuff.
That I was being a dick about it.
So, you know, there's always ego. And so
there's
you're
always
the ego takes a hit, of course, because you're just like, well, what the fuck? I'm just playing my character. But then you step back and you say, all right, well, let's critique myself and see what, if there's any truth to that. And, you know, so adjust
for sure.
Yeah.
Anyways, so like I was saying.
Anyways. Well, for me, at least from a DM standpoint, I definitely work harder on this game than most games.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, when you're playing every week, you can just sort of wing it and it's still fun. But when it's once a month, you kind of have to be prepared as a DM, and there are some times when I'm still working on stuff down to the wire, and that happens because I'm a procrastinator just by nature.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely put more love into working on this than other games that I've played in, and a lot more than other DMs that I've seen. I'm not going to call anybody out, but
whoa, Brendan,
whoa, hey,
just because my games don't happen as often,
just because your anti-paladin got pregnant in my game,
that's not what I mean.
I kind of have a question for you.
Okay,
so since you're co-DMing,
mm-hmm,
and you see everybody's interactions and all the fun, are you a little
sad?
Are you a little sad that you're not a character in this one?
A little bit, because I do love Star Wars and I did want to play a character, but I also get to build everything that y'all go up against.
If we're getting real,
so
then
let's get real.
When Doug and I like first were talking about this because of the Adventure Zone, like I really wanted to be the one in Brennan's position. No, I mean, really. It's been really fun being a PC, but that's where I wanted to be.
So I do want to sing. That.
Oh, it sorry, might sorry, happen at some point.
I mean, we'll do something after we do this campaign.
Yeah.
So,
I want to sing the praises of Space Jesus here, real quick, though. For most people who aren't initiated in the D&D world, when you're DMing in Pathfinder or soundtrack for me here.
Yeah.
when you're DMing in one of the bigger games like Pathfinder or D&D or heck, even GURPS, some of the more complex games. There are repositories and online resources and all kinds of things for characters that are pre-made, bad guys, challenge ratings already set up. They make it so much easier to build an encounter that's balanced and, you know, meant for what a party. This game wasn't as big. It didn't have the online resources. It didn't have a big monster. Like in D&D, there's a monster manual. It's a third book entirely separate from the rules manuals. And this game doesn't have hardly anything like that. So they got to custom make every bad guy we fight, every pawn we fight. They have to go through, make stats, and give them feats and mess with all that. It's a headache, and it's genuinely impressive that they do it to the scale that they do. And I say that knowing full well that I go on through and just go and break the game and screw that as much as possible.
Yeah, all of my building is for naught when Chubrub enters the room.
Yeah, when we have a good plan.
Blast-resistant walls everywhere.
Blast-resistant walls.
That wall can't blow up.
Everyone has force fields. All right,
next question.
Yeah. There's a couple that are kind of more specific towards me, in a way, so I'm going to answer some of these real quick.
That's
just so we can kind of blow through some of them.
We'll be right back.
Suck Doug's dick real quick.
One of them is, how hard is it to organize making sure we're all available to get together?
And it's not.
Yeah, pretty much it's not. We've set from the very beginning when we started playing this a year ago, but a year ago this month, that the first weekend of every month we were going to have a session. And that's changed because obviously we all have lives and
shit
things and shit happens and whatnot. But it's actually been really easy. It's actually been way easier than I thought it would be.
Now, getting
Thank
people here
me.
On time
yeah, that's a different story.
Has been like pulling teeth. I'm guilty of it. I think
Caleb's
we've all
guilty
been guilty
of
it at some point or another.
Ed, we're in your
except
house.
Except for Ed, because he freaking lives here.
Because we're in my house.
Of being late and making us start
late. Oh, I've never been late ever.
Except today.
Yes, says the ass also, that was late today.
Like
I've fallen asleep on the way home.
Right.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
that's
like,
scary.
Dude,
no.
It was like 2 or 3 a.m. And like the last time we played, when we went out to eat, and I was driving home, I'd nodded off. Literally nodded off. I was like, nope.
More coffee.
Yeah, a little more coffee.
I don't drink coffee, though.
Well, that's a good time to start.
All right, next question.
And then the next one. The first one, that was from Rowdy Magic. This one, next one's from That Is a Classic, who asks, when does the main storyline start? Will you let us know?
Yeah, that's for you.
And,
spoiler.
What extent can you tell us about the main story and what their goal is? We are very close, guys. I will let you guys know.
Fucking close. Oh, good God.
Longest prelude tutorial ever.
Now, I will say this. When I say we're close, in the story, we're close. As far as sessions go, January. February, March. Because I don't want to spoil stuff for the listeners. There's something that's coming up after this that's going to take multiple sessions to get through. And it's going to be a lot of fucking fun. And it's going to be crazy. After that. So however many sessions that takes us. Because, you know, we've got October coming up, which we're doing something for 8-Bit Horror Fest for them. We've got Christmas. We're going to do another Christmas episode. So we have other stuff that we have to get through also in the meantime just for fun.
But and there's a couple months where we're recording two episodes in each month.
Mark.
So.
Mark Anobi slash Jared just ate a piece of paper.
It was a love note.
It was a, note from Caleb.
Disgusting.
Yeah, that's Jesus. A good behind the scenes. Sometimes we write each other love notes. Yeah.
Or
pass
draw,
it across the table.
Or draw penises on the card for Brendan.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah. People draw stuff on the cards. And
that's just me.
Or putting silly things.
That's just me. I draw, I draw my character card, and then I draw a little limp dick.
A little limp dick.
I try to change up my name all the time. I think last time was Murder Nobi. Something.
Nice. Oh, you should have gone by Murder Nobi.
Murder Nobi. That's a good sit.
Murder
name.
Nobi is fucking dope.
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, what a waste.
Why have you been holding that
Nobi.
Back from
what
us?
What a waste. What a pansy bullshit
all
right. name.
So the next question comes from Maverick.
Pass.
Maverick fell. Who asked, how much XP does Mark Anobi need before he becomes a Jedi Knight?
Ooh.
Jedi Knight? Jedi Master?
Jedi Knight?
Jedi Knight.
And well, then just oh, it's Jedi Knight and then
Jedi
Master.
Jedi period.
Well, we all, it's level 12.
I think it's a 7.
Jedi it's, Master's level. Okay. They're at level 6 right now to get into Knights the technical first. Stuff. He can't take his first Jedi Knight level until level 8. And that puts him at 13,000 XP away.
Eight? But or 7.
You have to be level 7 to take a
gotcha,
level.
Gotcha.
He's
okay.
So close.
Right.
You're
right.
So right. close.
But I get to build my lightsaber at level 7.
At level 7, you get to build your own lightsaber, right. which is...
Is there a follow-up question to that as far as alignment goes?
There is.
Yep. Just go ahead and ask that question because I'm really... we're all waiting
he's
for
not
that, question.
Answer that question.
Yeah, Ravian. Ravian?
Well, just give us a hint or tell us whether you're not...
Ravian?
We all know the answer to the question.
It asks, is Mark a Sith?
Who's allowed to answer this question?
Nobody.
Mark? Nobody is. This is like one of those...
Next question.
I will say this.
No comment?
No comment, but it's also been fun to see... People assume that he is because it's just funny. Like
it's so ambivalent.
Yeah, because
the slapstick Sith.
Yeah, because he's like not. He's like not.
He's like.
But then there are
nature,
definitely times where like. But maybe.
Around.
But then like. But then maybe not.
The pizza ordering really threw some people for a loop.
Right, pineapple Sith.
Yeah. You ordered pineapple and sausage. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I like to think of it as kind of I'm working on a Marvel film and that's the one question that I just cannot answer.
Yeah.
And all I can say is it's been a blast working with the cast. I feel like when
cast and crew have all been really great.
They've been all great. And when you guys see this and it all plays out, I think you'll really get a kick out of it.
I 100% agree though, for real.
Right.
Scoot down the
red carpet, you piece of shit.
I am terrified.
I would spit water on his laptop.
Jesus. The next question comes from Ben Lurch, it looks like.
Ben.
He wants to know who has the most dark side points.
Ooh, I'm going to guess Chubra.
I have two.
I have one.
He did a lot of murdering. And
I got one for eating somebody's face.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then I got another one for, I think we all got one for the bomb.
Guess what?
Yeah. Actually, everybody got one for the
two.
Bomb because you participated.
I've gotten two.
You got two? Are we talking
about the last time was the last one that I answered individually?
Didn't that alleviate ours?
That's true. Y'all donated to the relief, the Ord Mantell relief.
Has that happened?
Twice.
Twice.
It happened in episode 18 and then in episode 20.
No, it happened at 15 and 20.
You got to remember, Chubrub doesn't have as many dark side points as you think he would because for him, it's natural.
It's just in his nature.
When I kill something and I don't eat it, I feel kind of bad about it. Like, that's where I'm from.
He's
like,
an animal.
I'm a hunter and I'm used to eating what I kill. So it's kind of weird for me to just leave bodies laying around. Like, that's just kind of wasteful, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
It's also
up to the DM.
It comes down to like the argument. It kind of does come down to morality. It's like, what was the reason for the kill?
Yeah,
did you murder someone in cold blood that you had no idea who they were, or were they somebody who was attacking you and it was a fight for your life? Most of the time, when y'all are killing people, y'all are in a fight for your life. Yep. Y'all are being attacked and attacking back.
Yeah.
Except for when you blew up the
stage
with all those people.
It was Defense, Your
Honor. And I did
shoot the
mother
first.
You never answered my question. How much XP are the civilians worth?
Oh, the what? The civilians? Oh, Jesus.
Non-heroic? Christ. Like 100 XP, so negligible at this point.
Yeah, really seriously.
Also, I really wish we would end every episode with us on trial for our actions. Yes. And just explaining why we did. Your Honor. No,
body count per episode.
You don't understand.
Defense. It was defense. It was, you don't understand.
So you ripped out all of his teeth, took his ears, and ate his face in self-defense?
Honestly,
yeah.
I...
Totally. Yeah.
Sir,
yeah.
Your
totally.
Honor. Your Honor. My client. All right. This little fuzzball.
Yeah, yeah.
Cute check. Real quick. Cute check on it. Yep.
All right. Next question. Pip asks, where does Chub Rub keep all of his bantha butter?
Yeah.
We addressed this, didn't we?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he has like the lined pockets.
Yeah, right, I have lined pockets, like, and then you know I've got my I've got the engineering room on the ship, so I've
so got
a big
tubs
repository
of,
there
of
and
warm.
Yeah,
butter.
We also have some in the cargo hold. Yeah. The huts have me on a lifetime supply. So,
What? You're not talking to your mic.
You're not talking to your mic.
You.
Oh, huh? Get in it. Get in the mic. Get in
get
that
in
mic.
Mic.
What'd you say?
Yeah,
when we get back from the thing that we're doing in the episode that we're about to record.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
It'll be taken care of?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Also, I think you did touch on, you know, the inlining and also the use of Ziploc bags.
Yeah, I have
in my
inventory,
yeah.
I actually
if
have
anything we should earn a sponsorship
oh, yeah, you
by
have a bunch of gallons.
I have 48-gallon bags that I use periodically to scrape up remains and
wimpy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Butter and whatnot.
Arnold Palmer asks.
Arnie Palmer.
Arnie Palm.
He asks, "Whatever happened to Mark's booty call?"
Oh,
patience.
Oh, ants.
Same answer as before.
Yeah.
Patience.
This is it's a wonderful
nope.
to work with
nope.
all of the people on this on this show.
Yeah, that's another like
experience.
We can't tell you.
There's some of these questions where it's just like. Just keep listening.
Everyone else is dead.
Just wait.
Huh?
Everyone else is dead.
Yeah, everyone dies at the end.
Now that we've recorded a follow up to that should be coming out relatively soon.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
So
you're welcome.
By relatively soon.
Hey, I owe
September.
It to you. Thanks.
That is a classic ask. This one's for Willie. So what is Willie planning with owning so many things like the casino and the ladies of the night? And can I get Peach's number?
I was gonna read my answer.
He's gonna read your answer. Yeah. He answered him on Discord.
I almost went. What was the Gungan's
was
name?
Peach the
Randy?
No, the Gamorrean.
The Gamorrean.
What was the Gungan's name?
Phil.
Phil. The Gungan.
If anything, I would have wondered why they didn't ask for Phil's number.
Phil the Peach Gungan. The Gamorrean.
If you can be a Gungan and get some major play.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
Super
what?
Flexible. Yeah.
Have you what seen their tongues?
Phil.
Yeah. Have you seen their tongues?
Oh, good God.
Want that bomb bad?
I love that.
That made
so good.
That made the goof got left in the.
Yes.
I'm so glad you kept that in.
That answers one of the last questions. That's one of my favorite goofs so far.
Oh yeah.
Well,
another good one would be how much gets cut out? All of my shit.
So
we'll get there.
So Willie Rowe kind of has been lost since he left his house, or since he left his home on Coruscant, and just kind of trying to figure out where to put his energy, where he can find something enjoyable and interesting to do, and things have just kind of come up. The casino was empty, and so might as well fill it and like take over that business, make some money, and then we kind of killed a pimp, so fill that position as well, and it's just kind of trying to find where I can fill those positions, and he's, I don't know, it's...
He's definitely searching. He's soul searching.
He's
right
doing.
Now.
Yeah, he's definitely doing some soul searching.
You can't spoil anything else.
Yeah.
So. I mean, all that stuff's happened so far.
Yeah,
so
all that stuff's happened.
This one, I guess, is kind of for me. This is from Arnold Palmer. Also, it says, "Does Link B go with you guys on your bounty trips, or does he just stay on the ship?" I mean, so far, you guys haven't really taken him anywhere.
Really
he's always with
something.
You on the ship.
Well, we've not really left the ship.
I mean, it's nice to know that he's
there.
You did
this whole thing hunting down.
Oh, we did.
But you didn't take him with you.
We did not take him with
you. He was on the ship.
We addressed that, though. We did address that.
Yeah, I think at one point he's just like, yo.
It's very rare that we need to all an out and out assault somewhere. Most of the time we have to interact with people, and we don't really need the extra guns.
Exactly.
I like to imagine he does his own thing sometimes.
Yep.
But it is nice to know.
He gets off the ship and wanders around Nar
Shaddaa. He could be taking out bounties. Who knows what he's doing?
Yeah. If we're ever in somewhere hostile and we need an easy escape, PN15 and Link B can bring the ship down to us and bring extra firepower. It's nice to have.
Galaxy Warrior.
I've installed emulators on Link B.
On Link B, so that we can play all the Game Boy Advance games.
Yep. I don't know if he's into it, but
he's got
I'm
Pokemon
definitely
Yellow
using
on him.
It. Yeah. No, he's
nice.
Got Pokemon Yellow, which is so nice because Pikachu
it's,
follows
it's
you.
It's cool because we set it up so that we can each have a save.
Yeah. Oh,
so nice. Yeah. Anyway.
Galaxy Warrior asks, and we haven't really established this, but what color and model is your Astromech droid?
Because
we introduced XA-10 recently, so I'm going to say he's an XA class. He's a made-up class. It's a Astromech droid that existed sometime between the period of the Old Republic video game, so he kind of looks like T3, but then also R2-D2. So he's kind of a mix in between the two with, like, just that Astromech look, but just, you know,
kind of like
very,
Chopper?
Kind of like Chopper a little bit, but
minus
like,
the dish.
Minus the dish. And
okay.
Then like more squared like legs
squared
and
body.
Less roundy than
yeah.
like than R2 is.
Yeah.
But I never say what color he is because I'm terrible at describing
chartreuse.
Chartreuse.
So he's green?
It's yeah. green. That's
can I get
green.
Yeah, I'm 15 right to
that.
Say
that
the word chartreuse?
Well, let's not lock it down. It's chartreuse. If it was green, we'd just say green.
Okay.
Oh.
But chartreuse with like a hint of beige.
I can get out my encyclopedia. That's chartreuse.
You mean your encyclopedia?
Encyclopedia.
Doug, can you do me a favor and give me a PN15 saying chartreuse?
Oh, shit.
Let's see. XA-10 is a chartreuse.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. And I will say on the reverse side
say,
of him, I've
chartreuse Swisher
written KLD bag was here.
Hey, guys, I just went to the convenience store. I got some chartreuse Swisher sweets.
That's pretty damn good.
Oh, 20 blazes.
Second clip into the end of the episode.
Yeah. So that's fun.
420 blazes.
I have two questions left. We have a couple up at the top that we kind of answered in the first 40 minutes of
right,
recording.
Right.
So wait, I just want to be sure he is green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hey.
Like all green or like silver?
I'm thinking
chartreuse.
Kind of like silver. Well, kind of like R2 and the other one that
R2-tone.
That Uncle Owen didn't go with
R2-tone.
Like that one had like red
and blue and white
red on it.
Mm-hmm.
And R2 had like blue on it, but he's also like silver.
Yeah, is he like silver with green on it, or
I like
is he
silver
like
with
silver
green.
And stretchers.
Okay, yeah, because like T3 is like all I think that beige color.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Beige.
So,
yeah.
So this he's like more silvery.
He's like beige and whitish. Like there's just some different plates going on.
Okay, he's been repaired and
well, like
he's a hoopty, is what you're saying.
A little bit, but not really. I mean, he's just different plates because you have different.
That's
plates.
Not racist. What I was at?
I
was.
Know.
I used to drive a hoopty.
What were you saying?
All right,
it's just a that's a broken down looking ass multi paneled color having ass vehicle.
Okay, so anyways,
yeah, let's get that last question. Hey, shut up, boys.
Yes. So some of the other questions that we kind of already touched on was where did everyone get inspiration for their respective characters? How'd you come up with the idea for the show? I mean, I think you guys kind of answered that a little bit.
My muse.
I mean, is there anything you want to add? I know you
that
Daniel
guy
about
at the PS4 conference.
Oh God,
oh.
Yeah, yeah.
High dynamic range.
The show itself was inspired by
the Adventure Zone.
The Adventure Zone.
Yeah,
you said that
from those sweet McElroy brothers. Mm-hmm.
Yep, we've said
check
that
it
a
out.
Lot.
You should do it. It's about to be done.
Yeah, yeah, they're about to have their
that
finale.
Is accurate.
Yeah. Is there anything else you guys want to add to that? Is there anything specific you didn't touch on? I think everyone kind of touched on that one a little bit.
I feel like I should be on TAZ.
Yeah, okay.
well, you're not related, so.
And then they asked if you guys picked your own species, which you did. I did not pick those for you. That was from Lens. The first one was from Chaos Saints, so thank you everyone for your questions.
I helped people pick their species.
Yeah,
yeah, we all kind of, as far as like talking about who has the most experience, we helped those who had less experience make all their characters.
Default.
Default. Human works.
Yeah. That was another thing. Mm-hmm. We didn't want, we didn't want everyone to be Jedi.
We didn't want everybody to be
human. Space Krillins.
Or the same like species, so we kind of split it up a little bit.
Yeah, we do have one of...
Oh, yeah,
everybody's
one
a
of
different
everything.
Species.
Everyone's different.
Everyone's unique and individual.
We're like community. We have one of everything.
Yeah. All right, so our two last questions, which kind of go hand in hand. What are your favorite moments from the show? Like, what have been your favorite moments you've had?
That's a tough one.
And also, have there been any goofs that you thoroughly enjoyed or thought were really funny that didn't make it into an episode?
I can't remember all
that's
the
a good
goofs,
question.
But there's
there are
I don't
so
know if there's
many.
Anything that stood out.
I can't remember what we recorded the last time. How am I going to remember a goof that got cut out?
I don't know. It's just, I know that because, you know, we record again like 4, 5, sometimes 6 hour sessions, and then that gets cut into multiple episodes.
Uh-huh.
There's just times where, for the consistency of the episode as well as the pacing, stuff just gets cut. Or sometimes a goof will happen in the background while something else is happening, and I have to decide which makes it.
Right.
Like, which is more important to the story? Like, the funny goof that's happening between, you know, Kale and Sawbone, or the stuff that's happening between Jer
and Kale
and Ross, or whatever.
Damn it.
Like, which plays out more later? So there's times where stuff does get cut, and it happens. It happens a lot.
There's also times when I'm really bad about this, getting too into character and really crossing a line.
Yeah.
And that's not, I don't look back fondly on that, but it's still kind of funny.
There's definitely stuff that's been cut. Like, I know there's a moment, and I think we may have talked about it, I don't know, on a stream or something, where Jer, this is one of the moments I think where Caleb went, "You got to step back." I think this is kind of what did it. Was there was a time where he approached Ileana.
Yeah. Oh God,
Ileana Lasana.
Oh boy,
in the bar and in the final episode, they're asking each other questions, like they're getting to know each other. And in the final episode, it just cut right into, "Hey, I've got one more question for you. Do you want to come meet my friends?" What actually happened was, "I have one more question for you. What color is your underwear?"
What color are them underdrawers? Them underdrawers.
Where she then like storms off, and then he.
He has to mediate. He has to mediate.
Yeah, he immediately goes and like catches her and is like, "I'm sorry, let me apologize." And she's just like done with him. But then he's just like, "Listen, I'm sorry. Please, do you want to come meet my friends?" And like, so I just went.
That
done.
Shit was hilarious. Oh. It was so inappropriate, but so funny.
I think it was.
It cringed all of us. But
yeah,
in, like,
it's that
the,
cringy funny.
Yeah, it's what you go on the internet to look for whenever you go like, "Oh, I want to cringe bad. Yeah. Like, give it to me, boy."
I think it was just out of his character. Like, it I talked so to Doug funny. After. I was like, "Yeah, you." I mean, that's. It's just not a part of. It's not his. It's not Mark Kenobi.
You were riffing. You were riffing, and you were trying to shock us at the same time, and you did it.
You did.
And it was funny. I laughed my balls off.
Yeah,
it was funny.
Super awkward and super uncomfortable. But it was just one of those. It was funny, but in the end, did it help or not? And so it was one of those where I was able, thankfully, to cut it in a way where it just sounded like you just were asking these questions, and then you got her to meet your friends, because she already was like annoyed with you to begin with. So her tone didn't like shift. It felt consistent, and so I was able to cut that goof that was so awkward.
Another behind the scenes thing is we use replacement words for a lot of like Spamazon. we do Google.
Adding
Spoogle
space
for the longest time.
Spoogle got cut hard. Yes,
Spoogle got cut.
Spoogle actively got cut, and
but
for
the
good reason.
But because
we made it
Spoogle, right?
It
started off
it
as
got
space
really
Google.
Bad. Yeah. Yeah, space Google.
But then Daniel said Spoogle or Chub Rub, I don't know which one it was.
Daniel made it dirty.
He made it dirty. And it was just like, "I spoogled all over the place." And I was just like, "I can't fucking use that. That's ridiculous." So that got cut, although Spoogle does make an appearance in one episode.
It does later.
I remember Doug going, "Oh, shit." He messaged me out of the blue, and he was like, "I didn't cut that Spoogle thing. It's now canon.
The Spoogle is canon."
I intentionally left that one in because of the goof that was happening. That it, even if you didn't have the reference from before, it was still funny because you could still piece together what the fuck he was talking about.
Yep.
But it was funny in it. But just everything before that.
Yeah. There's
times where I definitely go, "That's not that." Yeah. No, guys. No. There's so many times I cut that. Just me going, mm-mm.
The best stuff that gets cut is really not the best stuff. I say it's the best stuff because I think everything that we say is
funny.
Phenomenal. Yeah, and we just go off the rails, and you can kind of see Doug out of the corner of your eye going, "Please just stop talking so we can get back to this recording."
That's how I feel most of tonight,
you know,
so far.
Yep. just like this answer to the question is going to get cut.
Yeah.
No,
I'm probably not going to cut most of this, except for the part where the computer fucked up.
I'm kidding. It's just one of those things where it's like, we really riff, and it really is not going anywhere. There, it has nothing to do with the
story.
We have,
like, broken into song and stuff a few times.
We have broken into song. 500 miles and I.
It's because someone made a Fierro joke. Like, I couldn't help it.
Yeah, you got it.
So that made it into the episode, though, because, again, like, the Fierro joke is there, and so that went in, and then it was perfect, because then Jer tries to turn the cassette player off, and he fails, and he turns.
What was the song that we started singing in the Kev episode? You and I sung it into, quote-unquote, what I called the commercial break of the episode.
I don't know.
Oh, you're going to hear it. Once you hear Ed and I singing, you know to put a commercial in there. It's stupid because you actually did cut us off. You stopped recording. So I couldn't even edit around it.
That's funny.
It was awesome.
One moment we haven't put in the show yet, and I keep meaning to drop it at the end. And it was for some reason we started singing the Doug theme song. People are going.
Y'all did the whole fucking thing. And I believe I was just sitting over here, just looking around, confused as shit, not knowing what the hell's going on.
And so I have a clip of it because it's so funny. And I may drop it at the end of this episode now that I've mentioned
it. You save it as a ringtone.
But I know, right? You can hear Ed go like, what is happening right now? It's so funny. So I don't know. That's one of my favorite moments. But everything's been my favorite. Everything we've done so far has been really good, I feel.
You sweet bastard.
Yeah, sometimes I kind of worry about my turns taking too long and me talking too much, but the editing really, I'm glad it's there because I hate my own voice, and I know when I'm doing things, I'm like, I'm going to do this, and this,
will
and
give
this, and this.
Don't lie.
I say that you hate your own voice.
Honestly, during the best episode, I cut out so much Kale. I really did. I did not realize how much I rambled.
It's because you're hardest on yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Very critical of my own self, but I definitely cut out a bunch of Kale boys.
Mm-hmm. Man, I had forgotten that you acrobat.
I did. I jumped across.
So many spoilers.
I'm not saying not necessarily in the Kevin episode, but
is this coming out before the best episode?
Yeah, it's probably out by Friday.
He tumbled into the room. We all had that one room that we kicked the room.
The one acrobat moment in the room.
There's no spoilers there.
Yeah, jumped on Sawbone's head and Mark Kenobi slid in through the.
That was a different episode. Yeah,
that was an old.
I'm a nimble boy. Also, yeah, I jumped on
I can't believe nobody made comments about that. I thought
the gore?
Jumping on
the gore. I made comments about it because you and I were both just disgusting looking and walking around. But,
no, I mean from fans. I was expecting somebody to be like, that was fucking gross.
There was good sound effects there, too.
I loved jumping on. Who did I ride? Was it
the hut mama? Oh, yeah, the hut.
You were
on
her,
and
you were surfing.
No, it was
Aldrich.
Yeah, and you were surfing.
Yeah, I was straight up riding. And
you're like, you're the best horse.
I knew.
You're the best horse.
You're the best horse.
Oh, my God.
I knew it was good whenever I got a, really? Ross. That was my own personal validation.
Yeah, I think some of my favorite moments are definitely when you're listening back and editing is the stuff that makes Ross laugh the hardest.
Because
He backs away from his mic to laugh, but you can still fucking hear it.
Yep.
It's so loud.
There's nothing better than cracking up Ross.
Yep. I like when you introduce a new voice that Jaren knows about from the geeks, and he's not heard the voice yet in Saga, and when that new voice comes and he loses it, it really makes
The first time he heard PN15's voice,
Or the Butter Brother.
Yep. Such good reactions.
All right, so we're going to start wrapping this up. Is there anything else that you guys enjoyed or moments or anything real quick before we start wrapping this up?
Oh,
yeah.
I have enjoyed making some really great friends out of this experience.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww.
I hope you all did that with us.
Follow up, I've enjoyed nothing. I hate all of this. I hate all of you.
You're not invited to
all
of
these catchphrases. I was already friends with you before this. We're just better friends now.
Yeah, everybody's, gotten a deeper relationship.
I mean, I've known most of these guys.
I have stupid dreams about this podcast.
That's true. That's something that we could just talk about real quick.
Up?
How long we have known each other
people.
Like as just people who exist.
Yeah, people don't realize that there's some.
We
may not be brothers, but three of y'all have been together pretty much as long as the McElroys.
I mean, true.
We're pretty much
brothers. Me and Daniel, I think, have been
toddlers
the
together.
Longest of anyone in this.
Yeah, I saw Space Jesus as a giant baby in diapers. That happened. He was a giant baby.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've known.
It's weird because he told a kid to jump off a roof, but they don't tell you about that.
What?
That's
what?
From that the Bible.
Thomas. Yeah, it's from Thomas.
Yeah, it's from Thomas. He told a kid to jump off the roof, and he did, and
we
then brought him back from the dead.
The Book of Thomas.
Anyway, I've known Daniel since before.
It's not actually in the Bible.
Memories of things.
Yeah.
Oh, this so, is
kind of like how right. me and Ryan.
But yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah, I had never met. I may have met Caleb before. I can't remember.
You
honestly.
Met me a while back.
Yeah, I think we met
on and off
a
through.
While back.
Yeah,
I've known Doug since the seventh grade.
Can I talk into your microphone, bro?
I've known Doug since the seventh grade.
I've known Doug since the sixth grade.
My seventh grade.
Yeah,
Doug's
seventh
grade.
My eighth grade.
I've known Jeremy since the fourth grade.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I've met everybody initially at Doug's wedding.
That's true.
Except
that's
for you.
We had met at Comic-Con.
And we
that
hit
was
it
a
off.
Good time.
We hit it off pretty quick.
We all knew Jeremy first because, of course, we're all avid listeners to 8-Bit Geek. Of course we are.
I actually was
real talk.
Participant.
Real talk. If you really know it.
Yeah, real talk.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah,
I remember when I first started listening to y'all were doing the poll to rename Real Talk.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. You heard me say hashtag bring Nick back, right?
Yeah, go fuck yourself. I love you, Nick. You're never going to listen to this.
You're never going to listen to this.
So, Nick, the original host of Real Talk, who I took over, which is how I met Jer.
In 2012. Yeah. So I can't believe it's been, we've known each other five years already.
Yeah. It's 5 years. Oh, yeah.
I've known Brendan the longest because we met in like my freshman year of high school and his sophomore year.
Yeah, it was at 2005?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Didn't we determine I met you and Brendan in 2002?
I met you
the night of Ryan's wedding.
You and you both graduated with my older brother.
I knew you from Devin and Whitney, Brendan.
Yeah, and I met them
same
in
way.
2004. Year.
Same I met you at the night of Ryan's wedding when we came over
which
here.
Which would have been 2008
or
2009.
No,
2008.
Yeah.
8, because
Jared was personal information.
Right.
Ryan was still in high school.
I met most people, Ryan, really early years ago, and I met their wives or girlfriends even earlier on that on Tinder.
Before Tinder was even around.
When you just had to throw matches at each other.
Yep.
By the way, speaking of getting to know everybody or knowing people, you know how intimidating it is to walk into a scenario where everybody is best friends and you are brand new?
Oh, man. Yes.
That is intimidating.
All of us are already really good friends.
Yeah. We had a prank war where we dumped honey on each other and it all went down into Feeny's classroom where we had have this argument and we saw what would happen in the future if we were all like this. And then Caleb came back as plays with squirrels.
And then Mr. Feeny taught us a lesson.
This is a Boy Meets World episode right now.
This is a Boy Meets World reference. We can move on from here.
Well,
on that note.
Yeah, I was going to say, Caleb and I met at soccer camp when fifth grade.
Fucking hated each other.
Yeah, no, we didn't. We were friends immediately.
Yeah, we were friends immediately.
Ed and I met in middle school.
Yep.
We went to a Blink-182 concert. That was dope.
That was my 8th grade and 9th grade year.
I know I met you in high school because I know your brother, but didn't, I mean, you were 4 years younger than me.
Exactly.
He was some lowly freshman.
Ross,
when
you were just some douchey senior.
Yep.
So.
Piece of shit. Ross, we
nothing's changed.
You've been here.
It's probably here at some point over the years, but I got to know you through D&D.
Yep. That's true.
So that's been fun.
And
then you and I know each other Spider-Man. From,
from
high school, Hood's class.
Had,
from the Hood.
We had a media production class in high school that saw these guys were older than me. And Doug had emo hair and Ed was just always grumpy, so I didn't really know them back then.
Something's don't change.
Was it have emo hair?
Doug did have
No, I swear.
Oh, my God.
He had the same hair. No, I remember his senior year, it went all the way like halfway across his face, and then he cut it, and he had like a yin-yang tan line.
I did not, you piece of shit.
Really airing that dirty laundry here.
Yeah.
Should we go around and just say, like, to really cement this, what was the first experience? Like, when did you share a bed in the same hotel room together?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So Ross.
Never.
No, my freshman year of high school.
2013.
Wizard Rock.
We shared a room in an apartment together before then, even.
You know,
so yeah,
full well,
Brendan
we shared
first
a bed
ever.
way too early.
Way too
early. I'll tell you right now, it was in a hotel, and
Rogers was there,
and we watched Idle Hand.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first night that we ever shared a bed together.
Was it?
It's weird that I remember that.
That's really weird. I remember watching Idle Hands.
Weird that I remember
when you
that.
Woke up on like our choir tour and you hit your head.
That's because he farted himself awake.
Yeah, I did. Okay, at one point, yeah, we all slept in the same room and I was sleeping under a table, which I thought was funny. I farted myself awake and I hit my head up on the bottom of the table.
It was so funny.
He startled himself.
Oh, God.
So Brendan and I in high school, like, were in choir and stuff together. So we went to Austin a few times or different places for choir trips. And
nice.
We shared a bed.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got to.
All I can think of is Tropic Thunder, the scene where Robert Downey Jr. is the Catholic boy.
All right. I think that's enough.
And on that note, let's cut off Jer's ending. You boys like Mexico? You boys ready for some saga?
You guys are actually ready,
we're actually ready to play
fucking
some
episode.
Are you ready for some saga?
Before we end this, I do want to give a last shout out to Doug because there are a lot of moments in the show while we're recording that there's just dead air and there's no witty repartee, but then Doug goes in and cuts it up to where you listen to it and it just it flows and it's snappy. And honestly, Doug makes us seem a lot wittier than we actually are.
That's
except
for me.
Because
that's
things
what I said.
Are happening so
all,
fast.
He should get all the praise. He does the hardest work. We
yeah.
just show up to roll some damn dice.
Yeah. Well, that's why we pay him the most.
20 hours a
that's
week.
That's fucking wish.
No, I definitely want to give a shout out to Doug. I definitely want to give a shout out to KLD Bag, whoever does that voice, because honestly, it's really the glue that holds this whole place together. Let's go ahead and record.
You fucking asshole.
He's got to get the last word. He's got to get the last word every
time. I know.
Every time.
I was just going to say, if I could do this full time, I fucking would. I love it so much. Like, and also,
sure.
It's just so much work, it almost requires me to work on it full time.
Could you imagine if we could get paid
during
to
your
do this as our
actual
job? That would be
so yeah, good. So if you want better saga, Patreon.
Patreon.
So true.
Absolutely. Patreon, that Kevisode will be coming out later this month, so make sure you go check that out. We'll be back in September with more episodes of your favorite fucking Star Wars D&D podcast. We love everyone. Thank you so much.
We love you.
Was it love, hugs, and all that bullshit?
Doug said it.
I got the perfect song to sing.
I thought you were about to break into the Doug song.
Such an asshole.
I don't think you can leave that in. I guess you can leave it in because it's not actually.
It's
Dear Journal.
Wow, that's
Dear Journal, Patty Mayonnaise. Patty Mayonnaise, Patty Funny, Patty Funny, Patty Funny Mayonnaise, Douglas Mayonnaise,
Patty
Dougie
Funny
Douglas
Knee. Is just him practicing his name and her name? Oh my God.